The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Hi guys, you're listening to That's Mint on Fresh FM, broadcasting across the top of the south on 104.8 Nelson Tasman, 107.2 Nelson CBD, 88.9 Blenheim, 95.0 Eastern Golden Bay, and streaming to the planet on freshfm.co.nz. Hi everyone, welcome back. I'm Imogen.
Hi, I'm Kinnery.
Kia ora, I'm Salote.
And today we're introducing a new mentee. Say hi.
Hi.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and how you joined Mint?
Kia ora, my name is Salote. I come from Tongan, Cook Island heritage. How I got into Mint, let's just say they kidnapped me.
Yeah, no, it's not a lie.
That's how we get all our members.
Yeah, we go up to them and we're like, we think you'd be great on our team. Come now. And then they come. And it always eats.
And the kidnappy becomes the kidnapper.
Yeah.
That is real, though. I kind of enjoyed my first day, so I was like, I might just stay here.
Yes.
And we love having you.
We love having you. So if you don't know who Salote is, I don't know how, because she's iconic and she's all over Nelson, eating up the kapahaka scene. She's one of the greatest kapahaka performers in Nelson. She's amazing. Do you want us to talk? We kind of just want to hear about how you started in kapahaka, how it first began, because obviously you're not Māori.
That story is like, it's a story I enjoy telling people because it's really funny in my opinion. So my brother, I'm not going to name drop you, but you know who you are. He kind of forced me into the Māori medium.
Yeah.
And so like by force, it was like voluntold.
Yeah.
Oh, let's just use that word. So voluntold. And so after...
What made him want you to be a part of it?
So they came from Dunedin. So okay. My brothers were born down there. And so they grew up in... they kind of grew up around
Māori culture. Right.
And so like they are Māori. They kind of enjoyed learning about it and speaking it. And so he kind of just like... He kind of thought it would be a place for me as well.
Cool.
Because growing up, didn't really have...
A space.
Yeah.
A community.
It was kind of like I felt different compared to everyone else.
Yeah.
And so like it was hard fitting in. And so he could see that and he was like, you have so much potential. So he was like, maybe we should try this.
Yeah.
And at first I was hesitant to like go into kapahaka and into Māori medium. But after putting me in there, it kind of... built me into a new person.
Yeah,
and so like
beautiful.
It brought out new things that I never thought I could do.
Mm.
And so he kind of put me into kapahaka and he was like, just see how you go here and if you don't like it, you can come out.
Yeah.
And I ended up loving it because I finally like got to sing and like...
She has an amazing voice. Like amazing.
Stop. I was
voice.
So like,
the first
oh
time
my
I
gosh.
Heard your voice, it was like life changing. I was like, what is this? How did I not know it?
Yeah. So have you always been singing?
Yeah, always behind like closed doors, you know, like karaoke in my room. So it was just always by myself and then always at church as well.
Right.
So like growing up in church, you're always surrounded by music.
Mm.
And so it's also what helped me.
Did you ever get any singing training or anything like that growing up?
No.
What?
Wow.
No. That's
insane. I just started singing and my parents and my brother were like, you can sing. Maybe sing for the church, sing for everyone. I was like,
okay.
I'm scared. But yeah, kapahaka is what brought me out a bit. So.
Yeah, that's beautiful. What was it like finding, I guess, like a community that still wasn't your community but welcomed you? And were you welcomed originally, not being Māori, or did it take some time?
Yeah, because I kind of just got welcomed with open arms.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I was like, it's something that I really enjoyed about people, about Māori people.
Yeah.
And so my brother, because he grew up with like kaiako, and they like knew me as a sister. And so they were like, oh, you're Api's sister. Come Aww. Join us. Come have some kai. Come sing with us.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And so it was really nice being surrounded by them growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of built who I am today, thanks to
Aww.
All of them. But yeah,
that's I'm so beautiful.
Really thankful for my brother for putting me out there, because if he had just left me to like find myself. Yeah. I've, like, probably still been shy and never done anything. So yeah.
What are you gonna say?
How do you think it like changed you, I guess, joining Kapahaka and I guess like being a part of all that Maori culture? Like, what has that like brought to you?
Yeah, it's brought me like public speaking leadership and also opportunities that I've never done before. For like Kapahaka, we went to LA and Hawaii last year.
Whoa. Crazy.
And it was like a cultural exchange. And it was really cool connecting with other Indigenous people as well.
Yeah.
And so it was really cool because Kapahaka can take you to many places that you never thought you could go to.
Yeah.
Like going to Disneyland.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd go to Disneyland in my life. I thought it was just going to be a dream. But yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I guess there's a lot of things you don't think about when you sign up for something. I know that definitely how I feel about Mint. Like, listening to Do you want to talk about that, Kennery?
You can say what you want to say first. But, okay. Yeah.
Like listening to your story and listening to what you were saying about you not really feeling like you had a space and what it was able to teach you about like public speaking and all this stuff. Like Mint really built me to who I am. Mm. And like now I would say, like, the core of Mint is my whole family. Like, that is my home. When I walk into the doors, I'm like, this is my place. This is where I will always belong, first and foremost. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And never, ever did I think I'd be running a radio show. Like,
She and Betsy there.
Yeah.
No, I feel you so much on that. I just, joining Mint, I would have never expected all of this to come from it. Like, I was so scared at first. I was like, I'm just some little, like, half Thai girl. Like, I'm not even, like, fully Thai. They won't take me. Like, I'll get nothing. And then you all welcomed me with such big open arms. And it was, like, I don't know. I just felt so loved. And, like, it's so nice to be welcomed into a space that, like, even though none of you guys are Thai, like, I still feel so accepted in Mint. And just, like, everyone is so, like, understanding.
I really preach that. I think that's something that people don't really think about when they're thinking about, like, multicultural communities, right? I think this is something so overlooked. So when we're talking about multicultural communities, we're not talking about one ethnic group all coming together. We're talking about, like, 20 people in a room. None of them are from the same ethnicity, but they're all equals, and they all feel equally as comfortable, and they all feel safe in a space. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when Pākehā are talking about multicultural community, it's like one group, but it's actually not. You know what I mean?
I completely agree with you.
Like, we're not the same. We're all different. And look at us welcoming each other.
The fact that we're all different together is what makes it so, like, amazing.
It's so beautiful.
It is. It's exactly like how you felt about coming to multicultural. I was like, scared. Really scared because I was like, what if they're like, like, too much. What if I'm, like, too much for them? Because I'm really OTG, but then when I walked into that room, I was like, oh, you guys are even more OTG than me. So I was like, you know what, I might just really enjoy it here. But, when I first came, I was just like, you guys are just completely opposite from what I thought you guys were like.
What do you think?
I don't know. I just felt scared. I was like, you guys look like you guys do a lot of serious work.
Yeah.
And, like, not gonna lie, guys, I kind of stalked you on Instagram and I was like, they do so much, like, fun stuff and, like, with their culture and, like, embracing it as well.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I really would love to do that myself. So I'm happy that when you guys came to kidnap me, I was like, yes, yes, take me, please.
We got you. That's actually so funny because when I first joined Mint, it was at the Multicultural Festival when I heard about it, and Esther Rubas got up on the stage and she was like, if you'd like to be a Minty, blah, 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 sign this permission form, like, we'll get in contact with you. And the way she said it was like an interview kind of a vibe, and I was like, oh my God, like, I want to be on this group, but it sounds so serious. So I filled out the form, and then I was like praying every night, like being like, I hope I get in, I hope I get in. And then like 2 weeks later, Esther sent me an email being like, yeah, we want you a Mint. And I was like celebrating. I was so happy. I was like, I got in. Like, I told my parents and stuff. They were like, oh my God, she got into the multicultural youth. And then like after I joined, I found out that everyone's welcome. I was like, oh, so I'm not special. Oh, so my like thought out, written out, like a letter that I wrote asking to be a part. It was for nothing. It was just
shows like how much it means to you to be a part of a space like that.
Yeah.
And it just shows how important it is to have those kinds of spaces where people are welcome.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. It's not elitist. It's not like you have to have this much experience to be a part. It's like we want everyone. And that's the whole point. And I think, like, people have asked me before, like, what would happen if a Pākehā kid came and they were like, we want to be a part of Mint. We would literally welcome them as big arms open as anyone else, because multicultural means everyone.
Everyone.
It means everyone. Yeah. So I think that's really sweet.
That is so cute.
Yeah.
I really love this. Minty.
I'm glad it's so welcoming.
Yeah.
And, like, because everyone has something to offer, and I really didn't feel like I had something to offer when I was joining. I was like, I had nothing. But then...
Bye. You literally have the most to offer. What are you talking about?
That's what I mean. Like, joining made me realize how much I do have to offer to this space as a person. Like,
yeah.
I feel like it makes you... Like, joining spaces like that really makes you, like, find stuff in you. Yeah. It sounds weird.
I completely agree with you. Because, like, it just... Bring, like, being with people, like, different cultures as well, but also people that you can relate to, it really, like, helps you find yourself and bring out, like, something that you never knew you could do. And
Like, is that how you felt with Kapa Haka?
Exactly, because I used to, like, hide my voice.
Oh.
So I'd, like, hide it, and then that's when I got put on the spot. They do that a lot in Kapa Haka. they're like, okay, you're doing this solo, and you're just going to do it. And so when I got given my first solo, I was like, are you sure? And then after getting that solo, I was like, it really made me confident with singing.
Yeah.
And then, but now it's like, oh, I want another solo. Give me another one.
Let me do it.
But then, like, you got to let other people have a turn because they need their time to shine.
Yeah.
So I had my time. Oh. It would be nice to see how, like, someone else
can hold that space.
Use that solo.
Yeah, but that's so beautiful. That's so true.
It's kind of like the light is shining on you. Let's see what you have to bring out.
Yeah. And I think that way of teaching kids is kind of lost, especially in New Zealand education systems. Like this kind, I wouldn't say it's like putting kids on the spot, but it's like, okay, we're giving you this opportunity. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to show us with that opportunity? And I think going to school in Samoa, that was something I saw so much, was like them just chucking it at you and going, if you drop it, that's on you. Pick it up, you know?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with it? And I think that that's actually like, you know, like pressure makes diamonds, you know?
It
like
does.
Sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wise words, girl.
Thank
you.
That
was quite good.
I agree with you. It's like, I don't know, some kids find it like, oh, I don't like it how you, like, force it on me.
Yeah.
Like, some things, yes, that's true, you can't just force it on someone.
Yeah.
But then there's, like, some things that you really just need to push out, take charge of it. Like, you just take it because it'll be, like, your life is short.
Yeah.
Take any opportunity you can take because you can't do it after you're, like...
Yeah. I think...
What's it expired?
Whoa.
I think when people kind of, like... show an expectation for you and it's like higher than what you have for yourself, it helps you like realize like, oh, this is something really great that I could be doing. And I guess when people kind of put more of an expectation on you to do that, then it's like, wait, this is important, you know?
Yeah. This is actually like someone else sees this in me, so I should definitely like take that opportunity with what I got.
Yeah, at least give it a try. Like give anything a try because you're going to regret the day that you never gave it a try.
Yes, like literally, like just the other day, I was doing the emceeing for the multicultural pop-up market. And when our coordinator asked me to, I was like, oh, hell no. Like, I'm dyslexic. I can't read a whole form. And like in front of, on a stage in front of like 100 people, you're joking. And I did it. And it was actually so fun. And now I like want to do it again. You know, I was kind of like, wait, this is like a vibe. I'm interacting with the audience. Like, I actually love this. And it just proved to me, like, maybe I could do it. But I wouldn't have ever signed myself up for it, you know?
Yeah. Like, I feel like I have to be, like, voluntold.
Yeah.
Or, like, they're just like, do you want to give
this
a try?
Forced.
Like, a little bit forced will, like, help me. Like, pressure really helps me get things done.
Yeah. That's so real.
But being last minute makes me just want to cry.
Oh, yeah. As long as it's not last minute. I feel like... with Mint as well has really helped me with my speaking and, like, my public speaking.
Yeah.
I know before I joined, I would have never gotten up on a stage. Like, I would have never done something by myself on a stage, let alone speak to like a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Never. But being in Mint and like doing all these events that we organize and like talking to people and having to get better at that. Like, where would I be without you?
Yeah, literally, where would I be without Mint? Like, sometimes I just think about that. I'm at home and I'm like, damn. And I also think, like, Mint, we do a lot of very serious things. It's true. But I think it's just the community that we have. We make it silly, you know?
Yeah,
it's silly. It's what
brings flavor.
Yeah, no. We're like, all actually best friends. Like, we are all one big friend group. And it's like, I always get nervous because I'm kind of in the core of that friend group. And I always think like, oh, when new people come, do they feel like left out because they don't know all our lore? Like they're not, they're like not tight with us, you know, will they feel like they're just newbies? But I really think that we are good at just welcoming. Maybe that has something to do with us being like international kids and knowing how to like make friends quick and being moved around a lot as children. But I feel like we're really good at just being like, oh, hey, pull up, you know,
just reaching out.
Yeah.
I think an important thing is like that we've all kind of got similar experiences, but in very different ways.
Yeah.
But like it all comes down to the same kind of values. And
we all know
lessons.
What it's like to miss home. We all know what it's like to not have family in the same country as us. And like, yeah, some of us are refugees and some of us were born here. But it's like we still have that connection of just being other. And I think that that makes it beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to play a song. Would you like to introduce the song?
Oh my gosh, I actually forgot the name. Hold on. So the song that I'll be playing today is Brown Melodies by Jordan with a Y.
Yay!
Golden lights are dancing on my skin, making love to melanin. In the early hours when the dew is kissing dawns breaking, it's our morning song. Melodies from deities singing along, singing along. Our morning song. Melodies from deities singing. Rivers are bathing me, springs hydrating me, oceans are flavoring, salt in my head to my feet. And I'm not scared of the dark, I got the cross of the southern sky, guiding my deepest night, holds a tooth holding my spine. We gon' be fine. Melodies from deities singing along.
Guys, welcome back to That's Mint. You just listened to
Brown Melodies by Jordan with a Y.
We were just talking about, I guess, Mint, really, and being in spaces that make us feel welcome and seen and safe. But on the contrast to being in these beautiful spaces that make us feel welcome and seen and safe and acknowledged, there are also spaces that make us feel not those things. And I think that every brown little kid has had an experience where they haven't felt those beautiful emotions and that feeling of inclusivity that everyone kind of, I guess we all long for in life.
Mm.
So do you have any stories for us about some hard times?
You know what? Yeah, there's been a lot. Primary school was probably the hardest for me.
Yeah.
Like from growing up in an English medium to my first year of NIS, it's always been hard to find friends.
Yeah.
And, like, friends that won't look at you different.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. you know when you talk about something that your culture, I'm like, it's kind of like just things that you and your family do that they don't do.
Yeah.
Like, Pākehā kids don't do in their daily lives.
Yeah. Mm.
For example, like, going to church.
Yeah.
People are like, you go to church every Sunday? I'm like, it's kind of like...
It's tradition.
Like, it's tradition. Like, it's our culture. Like, going to church, praising him and thanking him every day.
Yeah.
Every Sunday. I'm like, I'm sorry I don't go to the beach on Sundays.
But yeah.
It's not my tea.
Yeah, yeah. That's so fair. And I think I definitely feel you with that one. It's just like, yeah, food is another big one for me. Like, eating food that's different to them. And
exactly.
That always freaked them out. I mean, Kenry, you've definitely got some stories.
Oh, my goodness. Don't get me started. My, like, one of my first years or second year here, after I moved, like, I literally just had this yummy little curry for lunch, and my friends in my class go, oh my goodness, what does that smell? Or like, oh my goodness, like, what is that? Like, bro. That looks so, or like, I'll bring a curry, and curry doesn't always look the best, right?
Yeah.
But it tastes so good.
It tastes the best tastes every
so
time.
Good. And I was like, ew, like, that looks like so, that looks like poop water. Like,
bro.
Stop talking. It just makes me so sad.
And it's, like, actually disrespectful. You know, like, these little jibes, they're, like, not actually cute and funny. They're so evil. And I remember going, even just the idea. So, like, I grew up maybe 3 years in New Zealand before I moved to an international school. And, like, the difference between me understanding my culture from the age of, like, from the age of 0 to 7, I was so disconnected. I did not care. And it was, like... the non-interest, like, I just didn't want to know. Like, I knew I was brown, I knew I had curly hair, I knew I was different, and I just wanted to ignore it as much as possible. Like, I just didn't want it to be the facts.
I feel you.
Right?
Like, growing up in school, it's like, the things that I didn't notice that I was different.
Yeah.
I didn't know that I was the one that was odd, like, odd out from everyone else.
Yeah.
In just, my head, I was like, I'm the same as everyone. What's the difference?
Just trying to blend in as much as possible. And then it was like, once I got into those environments, such as... multicultural spaces and going to an international school, I was like, oh, bring it on. Let me learn every single thing I can. Let me go to Jamaica. Let me learn everything I can about my culture because I want to know. But it's just like the comfortability of those two spaces and me having no interest to me wanting to learn everything. It shows that like the places you're put in are so important, you know?
Yeah, because like for me, I didn't care from like from a young age to, like, I think when I was in year 5 was when I really took notice of how different I was compared to everyone else.
Yeah.
And that I had a culture, like, that I really loved.
Yeah.
Sharing. A culture you should be proud of.
Yeah. And, like, I never took, like, just never really took a look at it.
Mm.
And then as soon as I hit year 5, I think that's when, you guys know the book Dawn Raids?
Yeah.
So that's when
that
I
book
didn't
is
know,
that book is iconic.
I did not know anything about Dawn Raid. So like I don't think my family knew about it, but they never like told me about it.
Yeah.
And so when I read the book, I was like, whoa, my people got treated this way.
Yeah.
And so like that's when I like started like really getting into my culture. I did speeches on it.
Wow.
And then
beautiful.
I did another book came out and it was called Mophead. Have you guys read that one?
No.
I think it's like it's a really good book. It's about, she writes poems and she talks about like her really beautiful hair that people like didn't like and like, you know, didn't understand her. She used to try and hide it. And then in year 6, I let my hair out.
Oh, that's
beautiful. Her book really inspired me to like really just love my hair, love every inch of myself.
Yeah.
So I was like, embracing
every single
part of it. Oh, that's
actually so beautiful.
Yeah.
It is so beautiful.
There's like a wake-up call for everyone.
Exactly.
I think, honestly, my wake-up call... wait, this is so funny. So my sister is a bit older than me, and she had been going through this thing where my sister really thought she was the same as everyone else. Like, she was like, I do not care about my Jamaican culture. I don't want to know anything about it. And it was actually her teacher who was just being like, no, you're different. Like, no, you are not the same as everyone else. Like, you have a different culture. You are not the same. Like, you are Jamaican. And she was like, no, I'm from New Zealand. And it was kind of racist, the way that her teacher was treating her. But it made her realize that actually, like, oh, what the hell? Maybe I'm actually am different, you know? Like, maybe I am not just from New Zealand. And so she was having this identity crisis. And this man, he was African-American, and he was my mom's friend's stepbrother, and he came to Samoa on holiday, and he came to have dinner at our house, and he was a ballerina. He was beautiful, and he was like, wait, can I talk to her about this? Because my sister was just like, I don't want to be black. I don't want anything to do with it. And he sat down with me and my sister. My parents went in the room. It was just the three of us. And he just talked to us about being black and, like, the power that he holds from his blackness and, like, the legacy that he has to uphold because of slavery and because of what our people have been through and how he has to be so proud for all of those millions of people that died and, like, hold on to that African culture that was lost. And that was, like, my wake-up call. Like, I swear I got brought from the dead that day. Like, I was just like, oh, my God, you're right. And my sister was like, oh, my God, he's right. And it was just, like, a light switch, you know? Mm. And since that day, like, it's just one thing that can change your mind, you know?
Yeah, so exactly. Beautiful. I think it also is so powerful being taught that from someone else, like,
yeah,
who is like you and who's been through that same thing probably. Like, that just puts so much more weight on the message.
It really does. Do you have anything like that, Kinnery?
I don't think like that, no. I think for me, with that whole sort of identity thing, in my younger years, I went to international schools, so I guess everyone was different, so I didn't really think about it too much. But when I moved here, I went to a predominantly white primary school, and then something felt off, but the whole time I was there, I was just like, oh, what is so different about me? Like, why am I so different? Like, it just didn't click with me for a bit. I was, like, always questioning, like, why do people look at me differently? Why do they, like, say different things to me? Like, I'm not different. Like, I'm just like them. Because obviously going to international schools, like, we're all just, you know, different, but, like, I'm still just like you. I guess I went through that for a bit, and then I kind of heard about other people's stories on, like, online and through social media, and then it kind of clicked with me. I was like, wait, this is why people look at me differently. Like, this is why, like, I'm never going to be just like them, even though, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what
you
mean.
So I didn't really get taught that lesson, like, from another person.
But social media is another way. I mean, we were just talking about that on radio recently, right, Kinnery? About how social media is able, like, is a form of connecting to your identity and your culture, because there's so many people online that you can just press a button and find out their story and relate, you know?
Yeah, that really helped me with, like, getting in touch with my language again.
Yeah,
because definitely. Obviously just my mom speaks Thai, but my dad doesn't. So, like, in my house, it's kind of a bit more difficult. And, like, hearing other people online speak my language, it's, like, helped, you know, bring me back into that.
Yeah, I completely agree with, like, language.
Yeah.
Language is, like really hard. It's, like, you grow up in a place where you don't hear your language, you don't see your people sometimes.
Yeah. Mm.
And so it's just really hard trying to find a way to learn your language. Some people don't speak their language until they're, like, adults.
Older. Yeah.
And, like, they get scared of learning it because they're like, oh, it's too late to learn your language.
Yeah, but it's never too late.
It's never too late. Yeah. Like, never some people think, but they find it hard to learn their language. And how I found my language was through performing arts.
Beautiful. So
performing arts is another way of expressing yourself and, like, really touching and, like, getting into your, like, roots.
Yeah.
Like, again. So, like, music, performing arts is a really good way to get back into your roots.
And it's such a beautiful way as well. I feel like storytelling is always the way to find your people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always a way to connect us.
It just feels like such a deep connection, you know?
Well, that's such a beautiful way to end this episode. I think that was actually very sweet. No? thank you guys all so much for listening. We'll see you next time. Thank you so much, Salote, for coming today. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.